This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us in the calming of our minds and in the longings of our hearts, by the words that come from my lips and in the thoughts that they help us to form. Speak now, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. Both our readings for today speak to us about sin and forgiveness. We regularly hear about God's forgiveness, but what about our requirement to forgive? Sin is something that's rarely mentioned these days. It's a bit old-fashioned, but it's still very relevant. Our reading from Genesis shows Joseph being implored by his brothers to forgive them. They plead with him, invoking the name of both God and their father. And Joseph readily forgives. And he tells his brothers, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph is taking the long view here. As you'll recall, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. They resented Joseph's attitude towards them, and they were jealous of the favor being shown to him by their father. They would have murdered Joseph, except that they were not prepared to have his blood on their hands. The fate that they condemned him to was little better than murder, because a slave lived a terrible existence. No ability to do what you want, and the life of a slave could be taken at the whim of his master. It was only because of Joseph's favor in the sight of God that he was able to prosper. And after many trials and tribulations, including a 2-year jail sentence for an offense he didn't commit, Joseph rose to high position in the court of the Pharaoh. Eventually, he is charged with keeping Egypt fed during 7 years of drought and famine. Without doubt, Joseph was sinned against by his brothers. And yet many, many years later, they appear before him begging for food. Joseph forgives and provides richly for them. As I say, Joseph is able to take the long view. He sees God's hand in all that has happened. By their actions all those years earlier, he is now able to save them and many others at a time of great need. Joseph was given the grace to see beyond the pain to the gain. The grace to see that while evil was done to him, God was able to use that evil for good. In our own lives, this is a most difficult thing for us to see. We can't see anything good coming from the harm that others do to us. We can't see the need for mercy or for forgiveness, even if in other areas of our lives we prosper. We all tend to carry the wounds of the past with us. We remember hurt and we hold on to it forever. We all tend to think of what might have been rather than seeing life as it is now. We tend not to see the hand of God where it has been at work. The fact is that in this story of Joseph and his brothers, sin remains sin. Even though God was able to bring good from it, and we would do well not to lose track of this, a sin is always a sin. Sin is always wrong. It's always bad, and it's always going to hurt someone. The incredible news is that while a sin always hurts, its power to hurt ends when forgiveness is applied to it. We should never, ever forget that we have all received forgiveness from God. Sin no longer has the power to harm our relationship with God. It's been washed away. It's been nailed to a cross. It has been buried, and in its place new life comes forth. A life that we only have to ask for, and we will receive it. This is the forgiveness that God has given to us. This is the forgiveness that he continues to offer to us. Instead of punishing us for our sins, instead of pushing us away and keeping us at arm's length, instead of turning his face away from us as we deserve, God turns to us. God turns to us and he calls us and he empowers us to live as people who are able to save many lives. By his forgiveness, we are able to bring light to those who live in darkness. We are able to spread his word of love to those who need to hear it. As Max Lucado writes in his book, In the Grip of Grace, God doesn't condone our sin, nor does he compromise his standards. He doesn't ignore our rebellion, nor does he relax his demands. Rather than dismiss our sin, he assumes our sin and incredibly sentences himself. God is still holy. Sin is still sin. But we are redeemed. It's amazing, isn't it? We are redeemed. We have been brought out of slavery and death. God is good to us, even if others have not been. God does this for us, even if we have not been particularly good to God. In our gospel reading, we find Jesus and the disciples talking about sin. And after listening to Jesus speak to him and the other disciples about how to treat a brother or a sister who has sinned against them, Peter comes to Jesus and he asks him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus responds, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. And then Jesus goes on to tell an alarming parable about how the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants, and how one of these servants, even though he has his massive debts wiped out by his master, fails to be equally forgiving to a fellow servant who owes him a relatively small amount. You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured. It's a frightening story, especially when you remember the punchline. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. We should find this parable frightening, because most of us find it difficult to forgive. We should never forget that the forgiveness we will finally receive depends on the forgiveness that we have given in this life. It's from Matthew's gospel that we get the Lord's prayer. Remember, the disciples asked Jesus how they should pray. And Jesus says to them, this is how you should pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we actually take these words and apply them in our own lives? God loves us, and he forgives us even before we ask. His forgiveness is total, it's unconditional, but he expects us to open our lives to him and to accept that love, to accept that love and forgiveness, and to show that love and forgiveness to our brothers and our sisters. Are you sitting there worried about being able to forgive someone once, never mind 70 times 7? Think about the words of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that you have known all your life, the prayer we say almost every time that we gather together. This is the prayer that gives us all the answers about how we ought to live our lives. And we say these words so often, and yet we really don't give them any thought. We say, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Perhaps it would help us if we changed these words and said, "And as you have forgiven us our sins, help us to forgive those who have sinned against us." Pray this great prayer of Christ. Think about the words, and then savor the grace of God. Sin is always sin, and sin always hurts. Yet God takes it from us. He forgives us. He has compassion on us. He acts towards us as a father to his child. Think about this and think what it means to you. Think about how God has shown his love for you and for all the forgiveness that he has given to you over the years. He did all of this for you even before you asked, even before you thought to ask. Sin is sin, and we have a right to be angry, but we must work to let go of this anger towards those who have sinned against us. Work at it by remembering all God has done for you. Something else to remember is that only God has the right to give judgment. That is not up to us. Remember those words of Jesus that we heard today. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and your sister from your heart." True forgiveness means that we must surrender the idea that we are the judge of others. When John Wesley was sailing to America, he witnessed the keel-hauling of a member of the crew. Keel-hauling was a particularly cruel form of punishment. The accused was tied to a rope, thrown overboard, drawn under the ship and up the other side. The chances were that the accused would drown and die. The captain said to Wesley, "You see, Mr. Wesley, I never forgive." Now, it wasn't for Wesley to question the captain's power of command, but he could and he did question that statement. And Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope that you never sin." Both our readings today deal with sin and the forgiveness of that sin. It is so, so important that we learn to have a forgiving heart. Hatred, vengeance, resentment can all poison our lives. God cannot forgive the unforgiving. It would seem that forgiveness cannot be poured out if forgiveness is not poured out first. As we receive, so must we give. Forgiveness like love, grows only by our giving it out. We cannot claim forgiveness if we are unwilling or unable to forgive others. Jesus has taught us how to pray. He tells us, as you have forgiven me my sins, help me to forgive those who sin against me. Amen. Thanks be to God.